part one of Daytime Confidential's Best and Worst of 2016. These are always super-sized episodes, and we always have to break them up, so this time we're just breaking them up ahead of time. Stay tuned! Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian Bo, welcome.
What's up?
And Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello.
It is my favorite time of year. Best and worst podcasts, bests and worst lists. Jamie is what has a voodoo doll somewhere where he's sticking pins in it. But
I was gonna say tax season ain't here yet. That's your favorite
time. Nope, tax season is never my favorite time of year. But we are going to count down our categories and kick things off. Jamie, who do you have for most improved actor or actress?
I have Haley Aaron from General Hospital. She's gotten a lot better. Not a whole lot better, but a lot better. And
the bar was set so low, any improvement is improvement.
Yes, and that means something. So there you go.
Okay. That may be the most grudging I've ever heard a category sound. Jillian, who do you have as most improved actor or actress?
I have Hunter King from The Young and the Restless. She just didn't do it for me. Y'all know I was very vocal about it, but when they gave her that storyline of her being the only ally in Victor's corner, she made me believe how stupid Summer can be. Just how gullible Summer can be when it comes to her granddad, and how gullible she could be when it came to Luca throwing the wool over her eyes. She brought that home for me. So there you have it.
Okay. Mike, who do you have as most improved actor or actress?
Well, I also have Haley Aaron. I noticed some vast improvements in certain scene partners that she has. And they keep pairing her up with they seem to pair her up pretty well with Dylan. That seems to be a popular pairing with people, and they respond to it. So for as much trashing as she has endured on this podcast, I would have to say she gets a nod for a most improved.
So question, though, to clarify, is her acting improved in the scenes opposite Dylan or other people?
No, other people.
Because I was going to say, I don't normally think of Dylan as someone who helps pull you up by the bootstraps of acting.
No, it depends. So she does really well, I think, much better with one-on-one stuff. But I liked her with, I like her with when she's with Ava. I like her when she's with Franco. I like her when she's with, there's people that she does really well with. And I noticed that, I can respond to her a little bit more. I never thought she was as horrible as you guys, but I do think she's made some big improvements.
Okay. Well, my most improved actor.
I'm optimistic, Jillian. Give me a little time.
Remember, Jillian, he's watching with a different TV. Just have to give him that.
Yeah.
My most improved actress is someone who wasn't necessarily bad when they started out. It's just that there's been a lot of growth in the last year. Felicia Cooper, who played Sasha on The Bold and the Beautiful, she came in, she did a good job, but she's really growing in it, and it's nice to see improvement in her role. Jamie, best male character of 2016.
Harambe.
Adam Newman, The Young and the Restless. Really, really saw how watchable he made the show once he left. And that speaks a lot. I miss you, Justin Hartley. I've only watched one episode of This Is Us. Everyone tells me I must watch it, that I love it.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll give it another chance, because I was like, why do black folks got to have, why they got to be crack folks, huh?
That is what I said, and you were like, no. Mm-hmm.
Well, after on reflection, it annoyed me. I was trying to give it a chance, but now I'm going to go back. But you hadn't watched it when we discussed it, then. I had. You were just commenting on the
I watched it.
Not when we first discussed that. No, you had, because you kept going, wait a minute. I'm talking about, I was given a reaction of having watched it. So, anyway.
And it was Crack City. I'm like,
every review I've heard for it has been really good. I have it on my DVR. I have yet to watch it. Jillian, who do you have as best male character?
Y'all may get mad, That's fine. That's your right. That's y'all's right. But the question was me. My best male character, I'm going to explain why, and that is Victor Newman from The Young and the Restless. The reason why I say he's the best male character is because Victor is the only one that you have dead to rights for the foolishness that he pulled, the extortion, the doppelgangers. He participated in, even though he didn't willingly participate, but he unwittingly participated in rape. Victor's still walking around town like ain't nothing happened. He is still walking around town like nothing happened, got revenge on all of his family members, and they still welcomed him back with open arms. Tell me that ain't bad.
Master of his domain.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere Mike bit a head off of a puppy.
That's too bad. That's fine.
Mike, who do you have as best male character?
You're using lines. That was my line. That is my line. Get your own lines, Kerr.
Kerr. Okay, Kerr, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Chad Demera on Days. I think he's poised to be the next up-and-coming male lead, if not already, on this show. And he is trying to rein in his good side for the benefit of his late wife, who's not so late. And he has to deal with his brother Andre. And I think that he's trying to, you know, rise the what?
His fanciful uncle.
Yes, okay, his fanciful
uncle
Andre.
Uncle Arthur, Uncle Arthur, are you there, Uncle Arthur?
That's correct. So so Chad Demera is my choice. I feel like he is going to be a force, and Billy Flynn is taking it with him.
Well, this being the 10th annual Best and Worst podcast, longtime listeners should know that when it comes to anything like this, there is nothing that I love more than a tie.
I know it.
I don't plan on being on here all night.
No, I know. I know. But my tie was actually Billy Flynn, Chad Demera, and Adam Newman, Justin Hartley on The Young and the Restless. I think that, like Mike said, Billy Flynn and Chad Demera they need to do everything they can to make sure that he does not leave, and they need to continue to write to his strengths.
Come to that point where he's an okay actor, but good God from Zion. We have to do whatever we can do to keep him. He was an accountant last year. Good God.
Considering how desperate Days is for actors in the younger sets, that's not an understatement. As for Justin Hartley, like Jamie said, I loved him before he left, but boy, is it glaring since he's been gone. Best female character, Jamie.
Alexis Davis from General Hospital. Everyone knows, and see, this goes to show I can be a critic who separates my thoughts from real to real, R-E-E-L, because I was perturbed with Nancy the actress for a little bit of the year, but now I'm okay with that because basically Donald Trump reunited, you know.
Reunited.
As long as we came together in our devotion to defending the country from evil.
That's okay. Her co-star is in the one under the fire now.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of bugs.
So anyway, but back to the actress. I mean, not the actress, the character. Since this was, what is the category? Best female character. Alexis Davis is really fascinating right now on General Hospital. She came out of, you know, what we thought was a romance with the love of her life, and tried to wear a wire on him. Look, she should have Snapchatted Brenda Barrett because she would have told her, don't do it, girl. I'm telling you, don't do it. You'll mess up a good thing. But while Sonny only got mad and, you know, yelled pretty loudly at Brenda, Alexis's man was like, ow, trick, I'm finna cut your ass with your big mama's knife, your step big mama's knife. So anyway, that led to all sorts of trials and tribulations, literally and figuratively, and now Alexis is a slopping, nasty drunk. I don't really know how anyone else is going to have a better reel than Nancy Lee Grind, in my opinion. So I have to say, Gene and Shelley leave a lot to be desired at times, but they know how to write for Alexis Davis.
A sloppy drunk? Okay. Jillian, best female character.
I said more than a sloppy drop. I don't need you. This is not filling the blanks. We are not having a test.
This is a crossword puzzle.
Soap opera podcast system. I don't need
you. You suck, stupid. Oh, shut up.
Jillian, who do you have for best female character?
Alexis is good. Alexis won me over when she ran Julian down, boy. I said, you got tired of that whispering too. Hey, girl. I don't blame you. Best female character is Ava Jerome. I mean, Ava, I was really concerned when GH had Ava do this thing with Morgan. But to me, that just goes to show you how far Ava will go to get what she wants. And that's just how far a mother's devotion is. She is like, look, you a crazy ass mofo. I can't have my child around that no more. It's bad enough that I have a child with your equally crazy pappy. If she could prevent having her firstborn around this one, she will go to the ends of the earth. And, you know, her part in Morgan's demise is fantastic, and how far she's willing to go to cover that up. And it shows that Ava has layers, because I said that Victor Newman was the best male character. You saw Victor didn't learn shit from his time in jail, but just to screw his family over. Ava does feel remorseful, and she also knows, oh shit, Sonny will bury my ass. I got to get them pills. So it just shows how far Ava will go. And it also shows that she knows that she's wrong. She knows that she's wrong, but Ava's also like, look, Morgan dead. I can't do nothing about it, but I'm not about to join him, child, in the upper room. So let me try to get them pills back so I don't bite it on old Decatur Road. So Ava Jerome is my fave.
Okay. Mike, best female character of 2016.
That's a standby. I actually picked Tracy Quartermain, because I thought that last year I said that she was the one that needed the makeover, and I think that they have transformed this character. Now, she's not controlling her own destiny in stories, but she is instrumental in making things happen for the people around her, and I like that they've kind of softened her just a little bit. And I like that she and Monica have come to, you know, bridge some of their differences, even though they still act the way they do with each other. But Tracy is the one for me that really shined through a lot of the crap on General Hospital this year.
And she's not dressing from the
She's
Dorothy
not. She looks amazing.
She ain't from Dorothy's Born Act no more, Jamie. No.
I know her hair is growing out. She looks so
cute. She looks
cute.
Really good.
And there's all this talk of her getting ready to retire. Maybe she's like, I'm going to get my life together and then quit.
Yeah, she looks like a wealthy woman, which was my gripe about it last year.
Well, best female character for me is Jill Abbott, portrayed by Jess Walton. She gave me life on The Young and the Restless when Young and the Restless was very difficult to watch.
Right.
She would pop up, and all of a sudden things would be immediately more interesting. When she caught on to Billy and Phyllis before everybody else, those are the types of things I lived for. And in a year where Young and the Restless wasn't that great, she was a bright spot. Jamie, biggest waste of male talent in 2016.
I knew the year you was asking for, but okay. Mark Samuel Parrish in and Ryan Carnes from General Hospital. I don't even know why we have to have any Mo's on the soaps if they aren't going to be used. And that's going across the board, because the Mo's are in dire straits. We're in dire straits on all four, but GH is the worst. They don't even come back when their siblings are maimed or married or, you know, shot through the head or shot out of a cannon. They don't make it to funerals. They don't make it to weddings. The gays get no love. Well, yeah, I take that back. Felix got to come to say goodbye to
Sabrina.
But we didn't get, you know, Lucas didn't come to his sister's wedding at his other sister's house. You know, we don't see him no more. It's like, you know, Mike Pence is already winning on daytime.
And he hadn't even been elected.
Mm-hmm. He'd been elected.
I thought your sense of humor was coming back.
It is back. This is it.
Okay, Jillian, before we have to worry too much about more about Jamie's humor, who do you have?
Biggest waste of talent is Pearson Fode. They have that hot eye candy that can't act. Mm-hmm. And they had him in a good storyline with Sasha. I wanted to see where that went with Sasha and Caroline being back. And poof, they just became an Insta family and then they became Insta gone. And he is a fantastic, he is a great actor. Why bring him on if you're not going to do anything with him? What happened to integrating the canvas? How are you going to make the next generation if you don't show the next generation or have the next generation interact? I don't want to see Steffi dressing like no majorette on my screen no more. So there you have it.
Mike, who do you have for biggest waste of male talent?
Matt Cohen from General Hospital. They hired this hunky doctor who's young.
Who we play?
Finn.
Father Dowling.
No. Griffin.
Griffin, yeah.
You know what? He's such a talent. No one even knows who is care. He's that priest.
He's the priest who's my biggest waste of talent for females.
He has been put in these crappy storylines to the point of why is this guy here? Only because he knows Anna and has a connection to her. He is a doc. I'm sorry, it's General Hospital. He's a young doctor in a hospital surrounded by other people. If they took him out of that element, I think, and I like him. You know, you don't have to like him. That's fine. I like him. And I think that they're wasting his talent on that show. He could be, you know, with Liz instead of that other, what's his name?
Franco.
Frizz. Franco, thank you.
Charisma and acting
ability. Well, whatever. My biggest waste of male talent is Scott Clifton on The Bold and the Beautiful because...
Oh, God, you just upended mine big time.
Because this is a person who, every time I see him on screen in a storyline where he's in some vapid triangle yet again that has stupid plot lines and is on recycled paper and ink, I just think to myself, dear God, he deserves so much better. And because he has the talent for it, but they just, it's ridiculous. Since you brought up Griffin, Mike, I'm going to go straight into my biggest waste of talent, which is Finola Hughes, because I think it's ridiculous. She's stuck in scenes opposite of Griffin. I just don't care. And Finola Hughes is an amazing actress who deserves blockbuster storylines. And instead, I am watching her in these scenes with Griffin, and it is painful. Jamie, biggest waste of female talent?
Tracy Bregman, The Young and the Restless.
Okay.
It'll be that way until they do right by Lauren.
Oh, Lord.
It will continue to be so.
Maybe bring back Tracy to give her something to do.
No. She has had more. Look, I like Tracy.
I was joking.
I'm not going to be satisfied with the, we used to be enemies 30 years ago. No, this is Lauren to the Fenmore. Bill Bell used to write many a sweeps period storyline around her. They snatched her babies. You know, she fucked Jack. She was the one who helped turn little Mackenzie from a frumpy nothing until a cute little girl so Billy would want to sperminate her. That is who we want back. Lauren to the Fenmore. And I don't want to just see her running around being Liza Minnelli to David Guest Michael Baldwin either. I want a storyline for Lauren Fenmore.
Jamie, you know you're going to have me take that out later. So just go over it again.
No, I'm not. I'm keeping it. Keep going.
Okay.
Sweet Finn and...
Jillian, who do you have as biggest waste of female talent?
The biggest waste of female talent is Michelle Morgan on The Young and the Restless.
Mm-hmm.
They have her. She came on there as fire. They had her in a red hot storyline when she was screwing around with Neil, but lusting after Devon, and then she went with Devon, and Neil went batshit crazy for a minute, and now she's a mean wannabe TMZ reporter. Enough. This whole GC buzz, the buzz need to be sprayed out. Like, It needs to be exterminated. I hate that set. I hate that storyline. I hate that stupid show. They need to have Michelle Morgan in something. She needs to be a va-va-va-boom character. Instead, they got her with the Shady Pines crew, i.e. Jack, Phyllis. Sorry, Gina girl. I know you ain't old as that, but that's how they got you, girl.
And Devon, Neil, too, by the way, would Neil fit into that crowd.
Good. Well, I think
Gina Tognoni and I are the same age.
No,
but they have her in the Shady Pines bunch, too.
I just meant, like, Devon acts like an old woman a lot of times.
Yeah, he do. Don't you do that, Hillary. Don't you ask me, girl. Like, ugh.
Yes, Devon is the worst.
It's whether or not he's Dorothy Blanche.
No, the Golden Girls had it going on. He is like Harry Weston next door.
Okay, Mike, who do you have as big as waste of female talent?
Well, I thought of Finola Hughes. I thought that was a good choice, but I ended up at Heather Tom. I think that
pick.
We have this Emmy-worthy actress who is just. She should be driving her own story. She should be driving the bus. And there's a lot of characters on The Bold and the Beautiful, but Katie is like connected to all of the families. And she's, you know, Spencer in her own right. She's, you know, been connected to the Foresters. I really feel like this is the woman that could take over the show and be the lead. And they're just wasting her on, Rick, help me buy a house because I can't make a choice. You know, it's just stupid. And now they're going to put her with, like, nut job Quinn next door, who runs over in her bathrobe to tell her to stay away from my man, who was my mother's boyfriend 500 years ago. So that's just so stupid. It's dumb.
Quinn is the smartest cookie in town. She not even hunched all that woman's children.
He said,
Eric tried to hunch Stormy. Stormy was like, stop it, Eric, I'm straight. He tried to screw all of Beth Logan's children.
That's why Quinn he killed himself.
Yeah. Quinn is smart. Let me tell you.
Is just wrong.
The last name Logan, not up
Let
in this.
Let me tell you, two white women on daytime made me think they were black this last couple of weeks. Quinn, when she went over there and was like, sister girl, you know I wasn't at home and stuff. Why you come your ass over my house and stuff? Don't come over my house again and I'm not there. You hear me, bitch? You hear me? So that was Quinn. I was like, Quinn got some sister in her. Because usually on these shows, it'll be, hello, Ashley, what are you doing at
night? Really?
You know, but then Kayla Brady, too, when that little boy told her, yeah, mama, I jizzed in cult girl and she's pregnant, but I'm going to see if she wants to take a DNA test. Kayla said, you don't go right! She going to take a DNA test up here. I'm like, Kayla.
Slowly. Poor Slowly.
Okay, let's see. Where are we at? Most immediate.
Kayla turned into Leslie Jones for a minute. Hell to the yes, she gonna take a DNA test. I'm gonna whoop her ass.
Told you what I say.
Most in need of a makeover, Jamie.
Chelsea Newman and Chloe Fisher. In the grand tradition of soap opera fashion designers that I've watched over the years, from Sammy Jo Carrington to Barbara Ryan to Nicole Love on Another World, Do Your Drinking Game. They've always
It's a good thing I have one.
They have always been fashionable. These two dress like extras on Square Pegs. You know, at least Chelsea has a cute haircut. Chloe doesn't even comb her hair anymore. Look, Victoria's combing her hair every other day, but now Chloe is not combing her hair. Chloe's hair looks like rats have been sucking on it. And I'm like, they're having these little Porky's weekend adventures with Kevin coming over. And, oh, I saw Kevin's dick. Oh, we run a fashion house. Kevin knock on our door.
I know, right? They had to do that, like,
I shot
the entire week that was the dialogue. Come on.
I blew your husband up in a cabin, but now we're Jinkies, girl pals. La, 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 la. I mean, if they're going to run a fashion house, make them look fashionable. Give them a set, because if they're supposed to be running a fashion house that actually dresses you know, the next first lady, Melania is not going to want to come to their apartment to be dressed. And don't tell me about you can't build no sets when we have the fabulous new GC Buzz set or repurposed set, because somebody said that's just Dylan's old loft. Well, it could have been, you know, I'm sorry, spend some money on new sets. Any money that's going toward handheld cameras, that can be a line item veto, because there's no need for that. But you need a set for a fashion house. You need a set for a rival cosmetics company. Back to the makeover stuff. The show needs a makeover. But yeah, the two fashion designers should look like fashion designers. That's a problem. This show is supposed to be the one, well, Bold is too, and it still is, thank God. But it's the other one about glitz and glamour. It was the first one that gave us international pianists and journalists and all of the things that the Brooks sisters were doing that made people at home go, shut your mouth, good, the Brooks sisters is going to Paris to meet with them Prentice brothers. You know, we don't have that now. People, big mamas at home watching this show are going, I don't want to move to Genoa City no more, girl, because Nikki and Victor over there living in, you know, I think they in a,
Because Chelsea only makes clothes for Faith.
You know, exactly. Oh, I think we can help you, Faith. And then she's like, I have $10. You ought to, you, look, you need to cuss Chelsea your granddaddy like, out like Warren Buffett's hard. People. You know, they treat Faith like she's Punky Brewster, a little orphan Annie, Anna Green Gables. Her daddy got $500 million. Why she can't pony. Buy a damn dress? A damn, she better sell that pony to somebody making horses so she can buy a dress.
Jillian, who do you have as most in need of a makeover?
Oh my God, Steffi Forster, Spencer. Good God.
She
good
looks one. Like an Atlanta brunch drag queen.
Oh my God.
Wait, who said that?
I said, you, no, I said, you don't oh. think, you don't, not happy that she looks like an Atlanta brunch drag queen.
God, one day she came in there dressed like she's a majorette or something, like she about to do, like she about to be in Drumline 3. I'm like, what is she wearing? And she talks about fighting for this company, and this company is ours. I would be like, bitch, have at it, because you couldn't dress me. I don't want my name attached to y'all fashions. She dresses.
What about those jewels? What about those ugly jewels?
Look like you could play jacks with them big ass jewels. They're just horrid over there. Horrid, horrid, horrid. That girl had on a jacket.
The fashion show was nice. It was well produced, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they even got around to having a fashion show. I thought they forgot they even did those.
She dresses horrid. And my dad's a designer. I'm like, design what? You design for Dress Barn.
And no, she wears entirely too much makeup. I don't know any girl her age. That dress she wear, you know, she wears makeup like that young man who is the new cover girl model. Why you wear? Only a gay man wants to wear that much makeup. Women, women don't.
Not any
wear.
I know. Sorry, dude.
Well, speak for yourself. But women don't really want to wear that. That's a gay man's fantasy for how a woman should put on makeup. Steffi dresses like a drag queen. She really.
Yeah.
Does.
No.
Okay.
Bitch, she not, because RuPaul be looking tight. Like, uh-uh.
That's right. RuPaul has been looking really good lately. Mike?
Compared to Steffi, come on now.
Yep. RuPaul,
what was the question?
Most in need of a makeover, Mike.
How much makeup do you wear, Mike? That's the question.
None. I'm a natural beauty. Come on.
Looking out on the morning rain.
Oil of Olay did it for you, right, Mike?
Okay, this is an obvious one. Sharon Collins Newman, Abbott Newman needs a makeover. And I'm talking about the military strip down, bring her to the lowest point in her entire life, in a corner, pouring rain, no money, no nothing, and just have her rise up out of the ashes like Stefano D'Amara. This character needs to be made over. Everybody loves her despite all the stuff she does. I know there are some, not, I can't say everybody because I took a little heat on Twitter from my point of view, but I'm just saying for the most part, she's a very popular character and you have to undo the damage that you've done. And the only way to do that is to strip it down and build it back up.
Okay.
She like it. She like it a lot.
Well, my most in need of a makeover is something that it's not very often in 10 years. I don't think I've ever had it where what I'm picking for.
I'm going to do a drinking game every time you say 10 years.
Or who I'm picking for this has actually got a makeover, then needed a makeover because the original makeover was so bad. But I'm going with the Chancellor Mansion because when Billy came in and gave it its makeover, it was awful. And fortunately, the powers that be saw the light, and so it got a makeover and put it back where it needed to be. So that is my most in need of a makeover because it needed it, and then it got it.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. They
that
had
doesn't
a
work.
This
that's
is absurd.
Just go to the next category.
Best stunt casting. We don't have time to argue about that foolishness, Luke.
It's a good one. Best stunt casting, Jamie.
Most in need
of
a story.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Well, listen, I was going to end up skipping a category. Most in need of a story, Jamie.
Most in need of a makeover is your neurologist. But yes. The most in need of a story is Maya Avant from The Bold and the Beautiful. Brad makes more faulty promises than presidential candidates. He set his ass up there in that interview with Michael Logan and anointed this woman, Carla Moseley, the new leading lady on that show. Well, if she the leading lady, I'm sure not following her on my TV, because all I've seen Maya do for 6 months is beg her little sister, can she rent her womb one more again? That's not a storyline. And here's what I'm going to say. Don't say nothing about nobody else is the lead of the show, because it's an ensemble soap opera. Soap operas are not supposed to be like that. Even back in the great days, you know, Susan Lucci had to share screen time with Julia Barr and all those other women, Marcy Walkenham, Jesse and Angie. This whole Brian Franzian thing of three or four people just dragging the show to the ground because they have to stay on it 5 days a week and twice on Sunday is really hurting all of the shows. And Bold and the Beautiful is no different. And we've kind of gone back and forth of cutting them slack because it's 30 minutes, but that's no excuse because all of the soaps started off 30 minutes. And, you know, just tell A, B, C, D, E, F, or whatever storylines that are well plotted out and that are, you know, rotated. There should be no one lead. Although, I'm just going to be real, the lead should be Catherine Kelly Lang. I'm sorry. Look, I love Carla Moseley, but even when he said that, I was pausing like, and I knew he wasn't going to keep to it. I'm like, I'm liking it. I love the story, but I knew he wasn't going to keep to that because Brooke Logan is the lead of the show. She should be the lead of the show. But the other women should also, it shouldn't be 6 months of Katie, 6 months of Brooke, 6 months of this one, and then we don't see the other ones for 6 months. That shows that you are incapable of mapping your stories out long term with any type of real consideration to trajectory. And that is a huge problem on The Bold and the Beautiful. You take these characters and you do big things with them, and then you do nothing with them, and then you want an Emmy for it, or you want GLAAD to give you a cookie, or you want, you know, every celebrity transgender person in Hollywood to do a cameo. You get no more cookies, you get no more goodwill, you get no more love if you do this shit anymore. In 2017, we're going back to year one Daytime Confidential with all of these motherfuckers. If you are doing bad soap opera stuff that gets soap operas canceled, we are calling you out for it. If your name is Bell, if your name is McDaniel, if your name is Jesus to the Christ, we're calling you out for it. So stop it. Get together, Brad, get your stuff together. Get you out a yellow legal pad. Write all them characters' names on it and write out some doggone long stories. I've heard that you like to write your stories in the shower. You can't afford that no more. Maybe when 5 million people were watching, that was okay. You need to sit your ass down and write these stories out to where there's no more bottlenecks like this, like what Jillian was talking about, where gorgeous Pearson Foday on the Thanksgiving episode. It's like, oh, Thomas and Goodbooty went to New York. That's dumb. Look at him. Look at him. Do you think Bill Bell, your daddy, would have had Shamar Moore off screen when all those extra eyeballs were looking? He should have been in there glazed like that turkey.
He should have overslept and come downstairs without his shirt on.
Yeah, he should have been naked in the middle of the table. you know, what a bird is, you know, something.
Okay.
Know, I thought somebody, you know, somebody say something like, and I thought that bird was greasy or some shit.
Or
like,
make a stuffing joke.
I mean, or you just, cut, you know, do a quick cut to them screwing. That's how Bill Bell used to do it. You're like, where's Thomas and Caroline? And then they upstairs just tearing each other off the bone, talking about, I found, and then she can be like reaching down under the sheets. I think I found the wishbone. Something!
Okay.
I knew you would like
Jillian,
that.
Jillian, who's most in need of a story for you?
I was not expecting that. That was funny.
I mean, you know, we can do what it do. It's a tie. Since y'all about ties up in this mug, it's Heather, Tom, and Ashley Brewer. With Ashley Brewer, she disappeared. It was no shade. We got used to Ivy being gone. Then you brought her back to be Quinn's sidekick, to be Quinn's bitch, and you're not doing anything with her. Either you have her go after Liam, or you have her tell Wyatt, look, stop lusting after my bad drag wearing cousin, and you come and get with a real boss up in here. It's ridiculous how you have her doing nothing, not a damn thing. She should, at the very least, cuss those Spencer boys out and be like, you are pathetic running behind this funky bitch. And for one of them to be like, you know what? She is right. And to go after her. Heather Tom, that's Heather motherfucking Tom. You have her doing nothing. All you have her doing is saying, look, I don't want Quinn. I don't want no problems with Quinn. You know I got a bad heart now. I don't want no problems from Quinn and her crazy ass. She should be doing more. Y'all could steal the story outline, the idea that I kept saying. She should be trying to take Bill and Forrester down and made none of them see it coming. And that Thanksgiving episode when Bill was like, Katie, when he gave that toast to Brooke and Katie just sitting there, I'm like, that should just make her say, you know what? I was doing a double take on taking Bill's ass down, but after that toast, fuck him and the horse that he rode in on broke down stallion, and for her to take Spencer down. You cannot have these people on here and waste them. It's ridiculous.
Okay, Mike.
And she also has to get that American accent gone. She has to speak
Ooh,
like a
child. Yes, stop it.
Mike?
Where are we?
Most in need of a story.
Oh. I don't have that one. I missed that one. Oh, wait. Okay, wait. I'll go Jamie's Avant and raise you four more. All of the Avants need a story. All of them. Oh. Not just Aya.
Okay. My most in need of a story is Noah Newman on The Young and the Restless. It is a colossal waste of talent that they do not have Robert Adamson on. They need to be making him... They have the potential to make him into the next Adam without having to recast a nuke actor in the role of Adam, and they
what
should
potential?
Do it.
Potentially, we watching this. Where he got the potential to be an Adam?
He could do it. He could do it.
I get what you mean. Like, think about it. He could be like.
He
go
can
after,
be the black sheep of the family.
I think I get what you mean, Luke. Like, do you mean something like
Adam underwear model?
Shut up. No.
No, I get what
he's
saying.
Think about it. I get what he means. Like, Victor ruined his life also. Noah should still be mad at them and say to his grandmother, especially the big mama, you really want me to forgive this man after he... Because I wouldn't play by his rules.
I understand what you. Yeah, I get. You know, I get your storytelling ideas. What I'm saying is, and I'm just gonna be real here. A lot of what made Adam is the acting of both of the more memorable actors in the part. I like Robert Adamson fine enough. I definitely would want him to get a storyline. I just feel it's a bit hyperbolic to say he could be in the same category as Muni or Hartley, because when he has all those scenes where he gets to go off on people, the room didn't move for me.
I get you there.
Now,
I mean, you know, when I hear that he has the potential to be the next Stalker Channing as a boy, I'm like, well, what was I missing? What show did I? What episode did I miss where this potential was showing?
Well, the next category is usually our most controversial category because none of us agree on the definition. So it no, is it is whatever you want it to be. Best stunt casting, JB.
We all agree on the definition, but you, because you don't know what stunt casting means. My best stunt casting, and stunt casting will come up again for me in a negative light later on, but since I had to pick a best version of it, I enjoy Cheryl Underwood coming on, you know, lusting after Bill every once in a while on Bold and the Beautiful. That's cute. That's manageable. She can act. I'll allow it.
Okay. Jillian?
We're twins. I couldn't think of a good damn one, and I thought, you know what? Cheryl was pretty good. I like her being Bill's, like, ace when Bill needs some dirty work, and she likes to get a little freaking stinky dirty with Bill. I like it. Oh. I like it, and she, you know, she brings it home that it's just a little cameo. She's not camping over the top. It's cool.
And she truly loves soap opera.
And she loves daytime, yeah.
You know, to me, the best soap cameos of all time have been the women.
One.
Yeah, and the women, you know, Liz Taylor, she loved General Hospital so much that the reason she did the cameo is because Tom Racina said, if you come on, we'll marry him. Carol Burnett, knows all my children's history as good as Agnes Nixon's. Her cameo was great. Rosie O'Donnell, another huge fan. Go Google Susan Lucci winning that doggone Emmy.
Oh,
Rosie O'Donnell is, you know, crying crocodile tears. That, to me, is great when we have cameos like that.
Okay.
But now when we have Nipsey Russ on them and just random people, that's, yeah.
There was a lot of that this year. There was a lot of random
it's
people.
It's on my bad list later on.
Mike, best stunt
okay,
casting.
I have two. I have one in the spirit of Luke who doesn't really understand what the topic is.
No, don't do that, Mike. Stay with us. Solidarity.
I am. Okay. So I have to go with my guiding light roots and say that Marcia Clark as the judge on Days of Our Lives is good stunt casting for me. Oh, I hear crickets. But all those
keep
general,
going.
Why? All those guiding light people out there are going to know what I'm talking about. She did the job.
The OJ Marcia Clark.
What? Oh, not that. No. Sorry.
Oh,
not
like,
OJ.
When did she sit up on that bench?
Nuh-uh. She was Hillary Bauer on The Guiding Light in the 80s. And so I saw that. I saw her on Days, and I was like, I know exactly who that is. And,
that wasn't no stunt casting. That was I need my SAG insurance.
Doesn't matter. It was brilliant. It wasn't as brilliant, though, as Tyler Christopher going in the water and then Nick Stabile coming out of the water. So
Chad,
and then going back in again.
Oh, God.
Well, wasn't he the lifeguard for Camille Grammer on her little show?
Okay. My best stunt casting is Kimberly McCullough as Robin Scorpio because she came back and got a wedding. Okay.
See, I can never be the worst. I can never, ever.
Character most in need of a recast.
Jamie.
Because you don't even know what you refuse to learn what's
done. Jamie, who do you have for most in need of a recast, Jamie?
Well, but it's all you. Mad as hell at
you. You can't recast me, Jillian. I'm an original. Mike or Jamie, who do you have for character most in need of a recast?
Celebrated Days of Our Lives. Next subject.
Who?
Automatic.
Well, you said it so fast, and someone else was so still laughing, so I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you said Caroline. I was
that's what I thought you said too, because you said it so fast, and Jillian was laughing. So I was like, Caroline Brady? That doesn't make sense, but okay.
Your stuff
it don't make sense, but we still let you rock, so don't
Vivian,
you do that.
Vivian Giovanni, who I love her name. It's like a Jackie Collins character, but bless her heart, she can't act. She got to go.
Jillian?
Little Kelly Massal from One Life to Live is great. Get her.
Jillian, who do you have for character most in need of a recast?
Lauren Catherine Jerome Clay. Bitch, you got to go.
Who the fuck is Lauren? Okay, I got it.
And Mimi leaks to her, I said what I said. Yes.
Okay, Mike?
Can she take that other one with her? Because that nail is just as bad. She did good in that black and white episode, but once they cut them lights on, she stopped knowing how to act, too.
Vivid now, color did nothing for her.
Is that we don't know what the hell she's doing there.
No, my problem is Nell.
If we were in on the
secret. No,
no, he's talking about acting, Mike.
I wasn't in on Sarah Michelle Gellar's secrets at the beginning, Mike. It's called knowing how to act. When she is asking the other little girl that can't act, so you're telling me that Sonny and Carly break up all the time? And then the other one is like, yeah, they do. And then the other one is like, no, go back and look. Look, they're aping this off of Sarah Brown. Sarah Brown showed up. All Sarah Brown had done before this show was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Wasn't she the pink
Power Rangers? Yeah, VR, no. She was VR Troopers, yeah.
Some of them, okay, the bootleg Power Rangers. That's all she had to her claim of fame. And she came on here like All About Eve. This girl is all about sleep. I'm sorry. She can't act either. Paul Haley Aaron is like, cut me some slack, yo.
Okay.
Cut you off.
Oh,
no.
So you mean Sonny and Carly break up all the time so I can go in there and put my vagina on him?
I'm a little bit lost at the moment. Mike, did you say yours?
No.
Okay, Mike, who do you have
okay,
for most
so for
in need of a recast?
Year in a row, okay, my second year in a row is Ridge Forrester.
Ditto that. That was mine. Ridge Forrester has to be recast. It just does not work at all.
And this brings us together. This is the mythological common ground that they talk about in the country that can't be found, because I'm with y'all on that. I'm so tired of Torsten. I don't know what to do. And part of that is writing, too. But when they had him telling Brooke, you know Mom always wanted us to be together.
Stephanie should have tried out of that.
You know, why do you have to
She
lie?
Should have leapt out of that freaking
and
portrait.
Brad does this all the time. Yeah. Whenever Brad is trying to justify whatever bullshit he's got going now, he lies about the past. I hate that. You can just say, you know, when Mom was finally at the end coughing up those lungs, she wanted us to be together by that point.
Exactly.
I know that's a mouthful, but to say she always wanted them together.
That, yeah, because I didn't see that scene. I didn't see the flashback where Stephanie was throttling her throat up at Big Bear. I didn't see that in there.
They did some flashbacks to their ugly history, but still it's not like for him to say, you know, she always wanted us to be together. No, she did not.
Stephanie should have climbed out of her esophagus and said,
you know,
bullshit.
If they're not going to bring Ron Moss back, I think they should just kill Ridge off. Because that is Brad was inspired when he had to write Stephanie's death. We got 6 good months of story out of that. You know, Ridge dying could, you know.
I'm okay with that. There's a lot that could be benefited from it. Then,
it would free Brooke up, too. You know, it would free Brooke up. You know, he's
think
got
of
that
the family 20... infighting that could go on. That'd be
yeah,
awesome.
His 20% could really, you know, cause.
Ooh, that would
a
make Steffi even
back.
More powerful.
Brooke told me to tell you she done launched Ridge and got a baby by him, too. Nah.
Okay.
So,
now, my next, this next category may be my favorite, and it almost had to be singing like a Les Miserables.
Who's your recast?
Ridge. I was ditto with you on that, remember?
I thought you were going to be Jason.
No.
I had you down for Jason.
I considered it, but Ridge is a more important character to get recast. We can worry about Jason later.
Robert Kelker Kelly, come on now.
Dreams really do come true. Jamie.
Jill Farron Phelps and Chuck Pratt are out of The Young and the Restless, and Sally Sussman and Kay Alden are back in.
Jillian.
Steve Burton is gone. Yes, Lord. I did have a collection plate out and had the Holy Spirit too. Sorry. You can go to Tennessee and get mad at me all you want.
Mike.
I actually had the YNR stuff, but I thought I would go with the actual revelation that Day's reboot was actually going to be a reboot. And that was my thing is that Days has turned itself around and it's enjoyable to watch again.
Mm-hmm. And in the summer, they'll turn itself around and be a fun.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, in the summer,
we'll
do a U-turn.
Of all your young, all the Young and the Restless stuff that we all love right now, It may just be a dream in 6 months. You might be like, no.
My dream really comes that really came true was twofold. Steve Burton out at the Young and the Restless, and Sabrina's dead. Woohoo!
Such an asshole.
I knew that was gonna be his. I knew it.
Jamie, be careful what you wish for. What do you have in 2016?
For years, I have been asking and begging and demanding for more PR, more network involvement in promotion, and things like that. And CBS Daytime should be commended for really caring about its daytime soaps. I was so proud of that guidance. Look, I'm giving you the honey first before the vinegar. I was so proud of the reuniting of the Guiding Light and As the World Turns cast members. I applaud them for everything they've done to celebrate being number one for 30 years. But, however, we have come to the point with CBS Daytime where rampant cameos and gimmicks and stupidity
is hurting it.
Glaring. Yes. That cameo onslaught, I told you, Cheryl Underwood was the saving grace. That cameo onslaught earlier this year with, you know, Price is Right people or whoever, I don't even know who that person was that played the bad, you know, there were two, the bad GC Buzz guy, then the good GC Buzz guy. Neither were needed. You know, one was Angelica McDaniel's husband. The other was an announcer from one of the shows. Then we have all of these cameos marrying people on The Bold and the Beautiful. It felt like they only were staging weddings so that we could have ridiculous guest stars. When a soap is on fire, a cameo is great. Elizabeth Taylor cameoed famously on General Hospital when it was the hottest show going. And she was such a super fan that she called them up and was like, I must know when y'all are going to marry Luke and Laura. And they were like, come on the show and we'll marry him. That's not what's happening at CBS
and got
Daytime.
Them 30 million viewers.
You know, we get it. CBS Daytime is number one. It's going to be number one until there is no more daytime. I'm fairly certain. But instead of focusing so much, or keep focusing on that. I'm not saying don't focus on that. But make damn sure that these stories are good. And I'm not saying that the network needs to write the stories or pitch stories or anything like that, because that's not their job. But it is their job to give notes. They are supposed to be the checks and balances. And you allow terrible storylines to get on the air and then don't, you know, and then get all up in the middle of good storylines. But at the same time, you're inserting all these silly cameos and photo ops and gidgets and gadgets. No one cares. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to give you faux excitement over Dej emojis or anything like that when I tune into The Young and the Restless and I cannot get through an episode. I'm not going to give a shit that I can do an emoji for The Young and the Restless. Because, you know, I said this before. You can put shit on a platter and dress it up and have parsley and everything else. But if it's still shit, it's shit. And it was shit this year. Now, I don't know about, here's the thing. I don't really watch those game shows, so I don't know if they were shit. I doubt they were shit, because how hard is it to ruin a game show? You go on, you dress up like a goon, and you make a deal, or whatever. I don't know. But I do know that the two soap operas that anchored the lineup were shit for most of the year. So I can't have a party about that. I don't want to get up dressed up in my tux and have a party when I'm watching the same types of mistakes being made that destroyed the other shows that are off the air. I hate to be the asshole to say that, but these handy cams on The Young and the Restless gives me guiding
light. And Bold and the Beautiful, too.
Every time. Bold does it good, though. Their producers actually know what they're doing out there.
No, they do that wonky, like, 10-second intro with the weavy camera, and then they cut to a different scene.
We disagree. I think Bold has it. Bold is the master of outdoor.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, talking about two different things. But YR is terrible about it. How are they, Jillian?
They terrible.
I'm sorry. You put any I challenge you to find a Bold and the Beautiful clip where you're talking about that and then put it up to the huge reveal of Jack and Phyllis finding out about Billy. I needed a Dramamine. That was not good television. Nope. Here we have yet another situation. I don't know Mal Young like that. I don't have 20 years worth of bad blood and thoughts about Mal Young like I do Jill Nim. So I'm not going to, I'm thinking, you know, with this cat, it's like, well, he, you know, he came in, jolly good show. He thought it would be good. It's not. I've been watching this show for 35 years. That was not good television. That was bad television. You ruined it. It should have just been the classic old-fashioned three-camera setup and have Jack rip her to shreds. I don't need the camera all up Jack's ball sack 1 second and then up Phyllis's nose the next. The guy was just following him around. You know, he didn't even know the little cameraman. He didn't know where to go next, following him down an Abbott hallway we ain't never seen, and they're just patting themselves on the back in the press and on Twitter. But are the viewers patting you on the back? No! No, that was not good television. Leave that shit alone. Leave that stupid park alone. Don't show that park for a while. Here's what you need to do. You need to write a list of iconic beloved sets from 1988, because that is the year when the soap opera went to number one. Yes, Bill Bell is gone, but you want to kind of get on an Ouija board and try to bring his ass back up in there, because what you're showing now,
that bullshit.
Because what you're doing now will get this show canceled. Mark my words. No one wants to see all of what you think is cutting edge. My children tried it too. We're gonna have a new handicam and new filming techniques, and they knew off the air. Stop all this.
CGI tornado.
Moratorium, yes. Do a moratorium on anything new and get back to the old. Go watch YouTube clips of Jill Abbott walking into a living room. Those classic old school. You know, she just walks in, takes her big ass earring off.
I get what you're saying. I totally understand it. But you can even forward that thought into what you see on primetime. They're not doing anything fancy schmancy. They just have good stories. There's good dialogue. It's not like they're outside I don't know. It's just like there's a lot of stuff that's on.
You're right. It can be basic, but with a soap opera of this caliber, The Young and the Restless, it was known for being highly stylized before there was a Dallas or a Dynasty. I know you know, but I'm just saying that was a huge part of this show's success. It cannot be brushed over. It was highly stylized. Bill Bell had real flowers in every scene.
Real
the sets
champagne.
Were immaculate.
Yep,
that is first. A huge factor of why it was so successful. It is no mistake, and I've said this 1,000 times, but I keep banging my head. There's a reason why Tyler Perry, who now has $450 million when he was a broke-ass little boy in New Orleans, grew up dreaming of that show. No little gay boy in New Orleans is watching The Young and the Restless dreaming of aspiring to eat.
Not that we're saying anything about Tyler Perry.
Shit.
Or gay boy.
This show now, no one, and trying to be modern and trying to be hip and with your handy cams and all this bullshit is not The Young and the Restless.
No, it's basics. You want to go back to basics. Bring it down.
That's the one thing I will give Brad Bell. He still knows his aesthetic. He gets his aesthetic.
Okay.
He's writing storylines with crayons and scratch paper, but he does know the aesthetic for his show. That has been lost with The Young and the Restless, and it has to be regained. Mal Young has to be told, I don't care what you did on whatever show over the seas. This is
Emmerdale.
The Young and the Restless. Emmerdale is the bomb. Anyway,
Jillian, don't bring that up, because we'll never end the episode.
Your ass to YouTube and watch scenes from 1988 Young and the Restless. And I'm not saying it has to mimic it in tone, because the times have changed. Pacing has changed. But Lee Daniels made a big splash by basically doing Dynasty with black folks in season one of Empire. He had the same kind of sweeping musical scores. Cookie was black. Alexis Carrington. Do that for The Young and the Restless. Go back and look at what was working when the show went to number one against Monster General Hospital at the time. Benchmark from what worked. Don't keep bringing these people in here who are like, I'm going to do my new thing. That has not worked. Nobody cares about your new thing, Jill.
Okay.
Fuck you.
Jillian, be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you wish for is a tie. Jamie, I cannot put anything on what you said. You know that I have always been, we've always been the ones when One Life to Live, God Rest Its Soul, would be on the air and we would just go in on their PR machine. Oh, what PR machine? YNR, CBS is like, no, we care about ourselves with the PR machine. But at the same time, y'all care too much about y'all with the PR. Like, you need to scale it back. I understand you're number one and we're number one. Like, y'all are true Beverly Hills yelling that out. But
or you could be ABC's PR machine.
Nothing.
Exactly. Well, no, you have the executives tweeting every day what's going to happen on General Hospital. That's not a PR machine.
Girl, that's why we said nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They need to be like some mimes. Just don't do nothing. They just need to scale it back some. I'm just so sick and tired of some of the bullshit. Like, enough. But my be careful what you wish for is having Jill Abbott know about Billy and Phyllis. Because now Jill has just become a busybody. She bought this company from Billy to get Victoria and Billy back. That's her only thing in life. Like, before they had Jill, all her station in life was all about Kane and Winnie and Nelson and their mama Sandra. And now it's all about Billy and Victoria. Billy and Victoria, Jill is a badass. Jill is supposed to be trying to, like, I don't know. Jill should be fending off Hillary saying, bitch, where's that payment note? That note due. That payment note due. We about to repo this company.
Jill should be biting off more than she could do, chin-chew running chancellor. Like she's always used to in corporate positions. Remember Victor screaming at her and Jack for buying Denison? Jill, she has the biggest empire on the show now, and she's content with sitting around on those little kindergarten chairs
with Billy.
Would she be the one that would try to unseat Kane by feeding him pain pills while he's drugged up in the hospital?
Oh, God. But that burner Kane, she should be trying to go after
Victor. That's what I'm saying. He's there,
right? She should be going after Victor. She
would just fire
Jill
Kane.
Should be going
Jack.
After Victor. You know.
Oh no, it's
Jack,
better. It's better than when it's Victor
Jill,
than Jack.
Yeah, Jill should get a. She should feel froggy. She should be sitting up there looking at her balance sheet. You know, we're doing better than Newman Enterprises this quarter. You know, with that smoky Kathleen Turner voice.
Ah!
She should pick up the phone and start having her broker buying up shares of Newman Enterprises on the sneak tip
or
to try to do what Victor
okay.
what he's always done to everybody else.
Or buying a company that Victor is trying to salvage because of that hack, because of because of Luca, and Jill scoops it and takes it from him, and he is just like, well,
combination of Alexis Carrington or, you know, toned down Alexis. I mean, Brenda Dixon was more Alexis. But, you know, she should be like an Alexis or an Angela Channing or an Abby. You know, she should be trying to make huge
Lucinda
moves
Walsh.
Against... There you go. Since we can go to daytime. Lucinda Walsh. She should have been trying to do, or Tracy, like Tracy used to be in the 90s when I loved Tracy.
Yes!
Tracy in the 2000s, though.
Yeah, Tracy used to always be trying to take over ELQ until she discovered Gold LeMay, you know? I mean,
you
have these incredible actresses, but you just have them running around being housefrows. And it's like, it's almost like, well, they're at a certain age. Angela Channing on Falcon Crest was old when that show started, and she wrecked most shop then a little bit.
Mike,
or
never tell
Luke
that to
translation.
Jackie O.
Or Luke translation, she caused a whole lot of trouble, golly gee willikers.
Mike, be careful what you wish for.
Never say that to Phoebe Wallingford. My general consensus is don't – returning to history. We talk about how much we love the historical content, but in the modern-day viewers – or the modern-day writers – view. It seems that whenever they go back in history, it turns out to be a disaster. I will give you an example of Laura on General Hospital trying to piece together this whole mess with Helena's will, which went nowhere. Liz and her rape story, which I have no idea why. I just feel like this is more of a Franco thing than a Liz thing.
It is.
And Brash and Sassy. Need I say more? Just okay. There are things in history that you can learn from, but we don't have to bring them all back because.
So we're no, wait.
Can't do
I
it.
I have to ask this. So what you're saying is because the shows keep hiring inept writers who sling up lazy versions of historical pieces that we should just not that it should just.
He's not saying saying that they shouldn't. He's just saying be careful what you wish for.
If you want to reference it, okay, if you're looking at like somebody's character over the course of time and you know how to direct their future or their current situation, that's great. Use it. But right now, bringing back an entire situation in the modern time with like Brash and Sassy was a teen story and you have like middle-aged
Victoria. No, it was not. Brash and Sassy was not a teen story.
Blow by Jabot was a teen story.
Right. Brash and Sassy was a division of Newman Enterprises that Neil and Ryan McNeil and Victoria all ran successfully. It was a branch of Jabot, and when the Abbotts managed to steal Jabot back, Victor only finally agreed to that as a caveat that the Newmans would retain Brash and Sassy. It is the glue to their cosmetics division. And
I get what you're saying, but bringing that historically back right now in the basement of a rival company.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
That part, yes.
Bill the Matchmaker and Kane and Billy.
And don't forget Dr. Jazz Hands.
It's not working for me.
It's bad execution. I mean, if we say don't use history because they only hire people who are going to execute it bad, then I mean, soap operas are predicated on their history. They can't just start fresh unless they're going to do a Loving the City and wipe out half the town and just start a new. Now today begins a new. I mean, they're all predicated on their history, and if we stop calling for references to history just because they keep doing it poorly, what's the point?
I just feel like maybe we're approaching this from different points of view, and I think that when you return to history, you either have to do it right or don't do it at all. That's what I'm saying.
Well, my be careful what you wish for is one that I never ever thought I would say, because three of my all-time favorite soap families are the Chandlers, the Quartermains, and the Cassadines, and never in my wildest dreams when I wished for more Cassadines did I expect that that would involve Claudette and Griffin. And it is just, I mean...
What about the current Mrs. Cassadine, Rebecca Budig?
Listen, you know I love Rebecca Budig, but that's her story since Tyler Christopher is gone has been terrible. This story with Claudette, I don't give a flying fig about Claudette and her kid. I don't give a crap about Griffin and his interest in Claudette. It is just ridiculous. Jede and Shelley are so disappointing as writers. Okay.
But according to Mike, they shouldn't go back to history. But see, no.
Well, they can't make up their own. That's damn well sure.
Well,
listen.
Mike brings out a good point. The person that has us so fatigued about the two people that have us, they've been largely responsible for bad executions of history on two soap operas. So I mean,
I've been saying this for almost the entire year, and people have not agreed with me, and that's okay.
Just write them off completely as bad writers, and I don't agree with that because
I write them off as boring writers, not necessarily bad, but boring.
The story is not bad, and look, let's just be real. We haven't mentioned a certain name on this podcast while we've been talking about those ladies. Jede and Shelley are workabees. They answer to the mighty Frank. That's Matt Cohen's brunette. As soon as I saw his brunette
hair. Oh, he's definitely one of Frank's himbos.
I knew who brought him on.
Listen, listen, you could look at the entire casting department.
Dorian Gray. That's what Frank's whole life is, pictures of Dorian Gray. He looks in the mirror and goes, I see a wrinkle. I must find another younger version of me.
Listen, every single young male who has been cast on this show since he took over looks like his entire track record on One Life to Live. And there's no denying it.
They're always brunette, and they're always kind of olive skinned, and they always look like him.
And they're always, and they almost are always completely shaved of any hair.
Be the producer, and he has to direct, and he has to get up there.
So he might as well look at himself in the mirror.
He'll try to grab Nancy Lee Grodin's Daytime Emmy Award next year if she wins, because that's just who Frank is.
I get what you're saying, Luke, but with the Claudette thing, and shout out to Xander Dash, because I said, oh my God, because I thought about this.
Love
too.
Xander Dash.
Claudette, we were talking, and he was like, you know, Claudette could be Serena Baldwin. And I said, what? I said, wait a minute. I said, you know, that's a good idea. But I said, hold up. Has she interacted with Scott? And he said, no. And no. I said, well, how can we play this off? And he said, don't you remember? Scott made a throwaway line and said he and Serena are on the outs. I don't know what Serena's middle name is. Her ass could be Serena Claudette Baldwin for all we know. This would have been
actually heard. You are giving them way too much benefit of the doubt.
No, and I've actually heard
Xander Dash should be get paid that long story writing fee that the Writers Guild of America mandates, because they not child. Look, if Shelly and Gene are listening, you know what they just did? They just sighed and fell on their desk.
Oh my God!
Listen, we have But honestly, having her be Serena, if she was Serena, and if the viewer had a hint of that, even though no one else in town had known it, that would make this storyline infinitely more interesting and more valuable, because we'd be waiting for the culmination when everybody finds out.
Y'all know we've all been at work meetings. So, you know how you're in a work meeting and somebody comes in with this gung-ho pitch, and then the laziest person on the team just throws back their neck and opens their mouth as wide? That's what Gene and Shelly just did.
Gene and Shelly Gene and Shelly said, oh my God, the other one said, shut the fuck up about history. Why won't they?
That's true.
If they're listening to this podcast, they're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. One of them wants us to have history, and one of them doesn't want history. Okay.
What the other part, though, the part of that is that I think of Jamie when he said that in the old days they used to start, like, putting the name out, like, oh, Serena, and then you knew Serena was coming back. I've heard Scott talk about Serena a couple times.
Serena for years, though, Mike. That's the difference.
That used to be a rule prior to Gene and Shelly.
Yes.
You hadn't heard from a soap character in months, and you heard their name. It was.
I heard Jillian's thing, but I've also heard Scott within the last couple of months talk about Serena.
Hornsby talked about them Chillings of Hills 20 times, and we didn't hear nothing about them.
The problem is that with Jelly, they think that throwing out those references is enough of a nod to be able to sate people, but then they get themselves in trouble with, like, the Jason and Elizabeth and Robin stuff.
I think what ends up happening, Jade and Shelly sling together a thrust, and then their breakdown and script writers try to do the work of Jesus and add history in there. And then they're probably like, oh, God, who is this? Who is this Serena thing?
Well, Jamie, Jamie, who was your favorite thrust for best couple or best triangle?
No, nice, but you Luke. Read Very what nice. They said in the Soap Opera Digest that they don't do history.
No, when I read it, I was sitting there like, well, no, Gene was real. I had Gene's back, because Gene has had to work a lot on these shows under bad circumstances with more network interference. I can't imagine having Varney coming into my office with a notebook. Tell him, but I got some ideas. I'd want to go jump off that damn park. They always
slap him. Jamie,
no, wait. So, Luke, just be quiet for a second. So, what you were saying? So, I think Jean has had to really gird her loins over the years, and I think she is a good writer. She's taught a lot of good writers. I think she's probably just fatigued, and she said it in that interview. She said, tough. It's really tough to sub. She said it was tough. Shelley, on the other hand, was like, I was stunned that, you know, sometimes when you look in a character's history, you find things that can inform the day. And I'm like, no shit, Sherlock!
You know what's so funny?
Well, but that shouldn't surprise any of us considering their past.
I'm surprised. I'm like, really, Shelley? You didn't know that already, Shelley? You thought you could just join the show and kill Ryan Harrison with no thought?
Oh, my God. Dango. I knew that was coming out.
Okay. Let's get this back on track.
The world would still be on the air.
Jamie, best couple or triangle of 2016?
Jake and Vicky.
Hey, Jamie, if it means anything to you, I've been watching them, so yes, I agree with you. No.
Jamie, best couple or triangle?
Who that you can stuff from the history? Fuck you, Shelley! You killed Ryan Harrison!
Okay, Jamie.
Damn you!
I wonder how many texts I'm going to get after this podcast. Edit that out, Luke.
No, I'm not. You can keep it all in. I'm letting it all hang out. I'm Gray Sweatpants.
Well, who is hanging out as your best couple or triangle?
Well, I have a you in the Gray Sweatpants challenge. Ew.
Ooh, I like that.
So ew! Shut up!
Luke, you like silly little lists. The soap actors we want to see do the Gray Sweatpants Challenge. Pearson Otis. Rob Flynn.
Who's that dead Morgan? He had some.
He already did that challenge.
Yes, he did.
He ain't breaking my knuckles because I like a picture of him.
Jamie, best couple or triangle? For the love of God, where is Catherine Chancellor?
Dead.
Yeah.
Gray park in a beautiful park.
In that shit ass park.
But people would have cop outdoors in November in Wisconsin. Best couple triangle for me. The best couple for me was Adam and Chelsea, the Young and the Restless.
Jillian, best couple or triangle?
Me too. Adam and Chelsea, they will ride or die until that funky bitch Chloe blew his ass up.
Mike?
I picked Brady and Teresa.
Nice. Ooh. Brady and Teresa.
Oh, because I really actually felt like the way that Teresa broke down at the end of the thing made me really like them as a couple. And I thought that the Eric Martzoff and Jen Lilly did a great job of making me feel something for that couple. So I agree with your Adam and Chelsea because that was my first choice. But I have to go with – I have to be the anti you guys
well,
sometimes.
Like Cheryl The first cut is the deepest.
Well, I have a three-way tie. Ava and Nicholas are the couple that could have been on General Hospital. Brady and Teresa were the...
It's not the couple that could have been.
Their scenes together were amazing when it was Tyler, Christopher, and Maura West. So, yes, they were they themselves, just for that limited time, were worth it. Brady and Teresa were the couple that were... And Adam and Chelsea are the couple where I'm going to leave a light on in the window for them.
No.
Worst couple or triangle,
Justin
Jamie?
Justin told me you can cut that light off because he got $5
Sally said, run up your light bill if you want to because that thing coming
Sally
back.
Sally is so my spirit animal. Everybody else was like, oh my God, that interview was so inappropriate. People in the industry were like, I'm like, finally somebody who like grabs their ball sack and says, fuck this. I'm going to speak truth to evil.
Here's the thing, that you're not getting like 100% of the vision in one interview. You're getting bits and pieces of stuff. So, you know, if you don't like it, so maybe something will come about that you will like. It's not all negative.
The soap fandom period has gotten too hung up on one or two couples. I mean,
right. So who was your worst couple?
Lord knows I have shipped couples to insanity, but if it's all like, if they don't give me Philly, I'm quitting after 30 years of watching. Okay, well.
Hi, girl.
I suspect that people like that have not been watching 30 years. Jamie, worst couple?
My worst, you said worst couple are trying.
Yes, so correct.
And it is Liam, Steffi, and Wyatt, the most vapid, ill-conceived. Kim Matula left and they thought they could just stick, you know, it's like playing with your puzzle. Your mama buy you at Christmas and don't nobody, look, mamas, don't buy y'all kids any puzzles for Christmas because don't nobody want, they want a Transformer. They want Starscream.
They want a Nintendo.
People like me, they want Starscream, but they secretly want Malibu Barbie, but they can't tell you yet. They
you want to know what the worst example of your example is, Jamie? I wanted something for Christmas, and instead I got a grain shovel.
oh, Jesus. Wait, what did you want?
I'm not going to go into it, because I don't remember what I wanted. I don't remember what I wanted, but it was a grain shovel was not on my list.
I have to look up what a grain shovel is. Can you get that on Amazon?
No, you get it at the feed store. Jamie. Finish up your worst couple.
Why would your parents get a
shovel? No, I'm like, I wanted some toy, and my parents got me a grain shovel.
So they got what they wanted for you, not what
Well, they got me a grain shovel because that Christmas was when they told us we were going to the grandparents' farm to help out for the summer.
Oh, bullshit. No way.
Well, that's life in the big city. That's life outside the big city.
Ooh, I would flatten my mama and daddy.
Remember when Lil Bianca said Erica Kane house on fire? They'd be like, where's Jamie? In the bar. Oh, you smell it carefully. I'm going to be so much nicer to you in 2017. I don't know what the next
category. It's on the record.
Oh, my God. I could go back as you. I would put my Karen's car on four flats as revenge.
No.
I believe that you're not an emancipated minor.
I get back on track. Am I next?
You were worst couple or triangle. You were telling us about Liam, Steffi, and...
Steffi, yeah. You know what? It's
sorry,
not
I didn't mean to get you off track.
It's not as bad as a grain shovel, so I'm just going to wrap it up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's not too many people who can trump a grain shovel as worst Christmas gift.
You win. That's the worst Christmas gift ever in the history of Christmas.
Jillian, worst couple or triangle?
I would say worst couple is Ma and Pa Kerr for that damn.
Listen, that was probably a good 25 years ago, but...
Like when your auntie would come into town and forget that she needed to buy Christmas gifts for the little nephews and nieces, and she would run to the dollar store and buy them fake Barbie dolls that when you picked up the hair, they were bald-headed.
Did you have anybody as a pick, Jillian?
Yeah, they would tell you, this is just your temporary gift. What a beat they can ass. Worst couple or triangle is Liam, Steffi, and Wyatt. I hate them. Yes, I do. They are supposed to be Bill Spencer's son. Wyatt is the one closest to Bill as being just like Bill. I'm waiting for Wyatt to get some balls like Bill and say, bitch, fuck you and the tacky clothes that your ass wears. I don't get it. They should just all turn their backs against her. I'm tired of her.
He should be going for half of her shares in Forrester in the divorce. He should be doing that, and then he should go to his father and say, Brooke is just stringing you along. Why don't you give me your shares in Forrester? And then he and his mother could really have a power play. But there's no... Everybody's just so there's only two or three characters with a purpose on Bold. You know, Quinn has a purpose. You know, Ridge has a purpose because his purpose is getting rid of Quinn. But so many other characters just are just rudderless and have no, you know, to Wyatt and Liam, the world is being married to Steffi. There's nothing beyond it. You know, Brad
career.
You know, Brooke
going to the gym.
Brooke wanted to be a chemist. Brooke wanted to be the best CEO she could be. Taylor really prided herself in being a responsible therapist. Ridge wanted to be a better designer than his father. That triangle had layers. What do Steffi, Liam, and Wyatt want other than to penetrate each other?
The hunch. She should be like
it's no other girl. It's no other girl that wears drag queen makeup in Beverly Hills for the two of them to screw.
Mike, worst couple or triangle?
Actually, I went a little off the grid a little bit, and I picked Hillary and Devon. Not because I dislike them together, but because they are horrible together. I expect more from them.
Okay.
I just think that they're like they're great together. They're not really great together. They should be great together. That's why they're worse.
Yeah, I agree with that.
My worst couple or triangle is a tie, Franco and Elizabeth on General Hospital, because. And then Sharon and Dylan on The Young and the Restless. Thank God Steve Burton's gone. most final category, then we wrap up this, our first half of our two-part Best and Worst of 2016. Mel will be joining us for the second half, so tune in for that next week. Final category, Jamie, most tortured couple or triangle?
I'm going to speak in my Barbara Walters voice.
You can't even speak like Baba Wawa. You know she can't say W.
So, no. My most tortured couple or triangle is actually a quad, and it's JJ, Gabby, Chad, and Abigail. Poor Abigail, you know, the pretty sculpted eyebrow dude that she hunched, you know. That's why I say don't get on Grindr, y'all, because you meet somebody on the Grindr or the Tinder or the whatever.
Did you see that story about the gay guy who was a serial killer in Britain who was killing gay guys?
I did, and I'm so terrible because all I thought is, oh, this would be a good novel. But, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
It would be a great movie of the week too for Lifetime. You cast the right people. Anyway, I do that. I'm sorry. I'm sure most writers feel that way. I have to tell my friends when they're telling me a tragic story and they see me zone out, and they're like, "Jamie, you're thinking about a story, aren't you?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I can't help it."
Okay. But absolutely.
Back to both. Yeah, JJ. You know, the woman. You know, she hunched this dude, and then he went so crazy because she quit him. That he decided to kill up all her family members and choke her little gay cousin out. And, you know, then he kept getting out of the damn nut house and stuff. And so she had to tie his ass up like you have to do in the South sometimes and burn him, you know, try to set his ass on fire. And then everybody thought she was crazy. And I'm like, she seemed like the sanest person in Salem to me. I don't know why people in Salem just keep on letting people torment them. Abby said, oh, you want to keep on bothering me? Okay, well, how about I'm going to tie your ass up in this bed and set you on fire and see if I can't fricassee you for a second. I bet you'll leave me alone then. But then, of course, she had to go to the crazy house. And then, because Kate Manson was leaving the show, she had to fake her death, which, you know, we'll never get tired of those storylines. Mm. Now we find out that her fancy uncle, Andre, and her big mama, Laura,
and her mama,
was conspiring to keep her away and shit. And then Chad is all grieving and trying to cry. Y'all talking about he's in the future of the show. He need to learn how to cry. First, back to business. You're going to have to learn how to cry. He's cute now, but you're going to have to learn how to cry and grieve and not be grinning while you grieve. He do that Chandler Massey grinning while I'm grieving stuff sometime. But I still like him because he's cute. But yeah, and then Paul Gabby. You know, she's Gabrielle sitting over here trying to date JJ, and JJ ain't never met no girl he don't want to screw. So he done screwed off on her, and now Poe Gabby's life is all messed up, and she's trying to be an image consultant. Because, you know, that's what you get to do when you done been to the penitentiary. for murder. You get to come out and be an image consultant. So anyway, I like them is what I'm trying to say. So that's why I think they're the most tortured. I like the little foursome. And as long as I haven't seen Chad with Abigail yet, but as long as they have some chemistry, they could have a nice little old school soap quad, you know, two siblings.
Young and young too.
I think Abby may be the weak link.
No. Oh my God, no.
She can act. I think she's fine. She's fine.
I'm giving her the 30-day whatever, but so far I haven't been overly impressed.
There's no 30 days on this one. She's already done it.
She's a good little actress.
We give her 30 days.
Mike, you have a magic TV that the rest of us don't have.
I'm with you, Mike. I watched that baby be born, and I remember when she had the aplastic anemia or something like that.
She did. That's what she had.
She is a good little actress.
Jillian, most tortured couple or triangle?
She doesn't look like everybody else. You know, she's got her own little look. She's like porcelain and freckled. You know, she don't look like every other girl they always cast. They always cast these girls like they go to Costco and just get them, put them.
Oh
in
my
the back
God,
of the
Costco!
Van. They just put them in the back of a van and bring them and just here we go. Same old vapid little nothing girl. Look at those two on General Hospital and watch them in Seeds together. And then you think back to like Sarah Brown and Kimberly McCullough with their different
hair. Look at Ryan Pavey and the boy playing Griffin.
All the boys on it, just like Frank. I don't all right now. He got a factory at the back of Prospect Studios.
They're Frank bots. They're Frank bots. We no longer have Brenda bots. We have Frank bots.
Kelly Monaco is going to take a wrong turn, and she's going to open this door. And Frank is going to be like, what are you doing? And it's just going to be a whole bunch of naked brunette men on slabs.
No,
and she's like,
no.
It's going to be Westworld is what it's going to be.
No, it's going to be.
It's Frank World.
Gina Shelley are like, well, we're looking for a black character actor. Does he look like me? No, Frank is black. Then he can't be on it.
Jillian, most tortured couple or triangle?
That will be Sasha, Zenday, and Nicole. It started
torture for you or torture for us?
Torture for me! Fuck y'all!
Listen, I have one of those too, Jillian. This mine is torture for me.
It's torture for me! They're tortured! They keep putting him in this, you wanna have your sisters, baby? You ain't renting out your womb, girl, and I'm gonna hunt your place. Your play friend sister, and then stop it. You know, Nicole should punch Zenday in his cockeyed, and he should beat the shit out of Sasha too. And
I'll take you, baby.
And she should tell him to kick off. And right when she does that, she needs to have her wounds healed by Wyatt.
Or what? That took a second. I was like, what did you say? No.
Whoa, that didn't say womb. Y'all are freaking.
I know, just kidding.
Okay, Mike, most tortured couple or triangle?
My heart should be healed by Wyatt because they were cool before, and now he act like he don't know her. He's like, I don't know her.
Interesting. That's an interesting thought. I like that.
Mike, most tortured couple or triangle?
Steffi. I like Steffi. I'm 35 years old and I've never dated anyone but Steffi. I'm Wyatt.
You said Jillian and Alexis?
I did.
Okay. Did you mean Jillian and Alexis? I never date that heifer.
I didn't ask if the question wasn't, is what's Jillian going to date? It was the tortured couple.
He said Jillian and Alexis.
I said Jillian and Alexis.
I don't know.
I said Jillian.
I'm coming back.
Okay, my most tortured couple or triangle is Morgan and Kiki because it was torturous to watch them for 2016. It was just painful. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Jamie, where can they find you and your epic tweets on Twitter?
On Pornhub.
Ew,
okay.
No stuff.
Okay, Jillian. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Twitter.com/JillianBow.
And Mike?
I already follow Jamie, so I am at...
On Pornhub?
What that got to do with you?
You follow Jamie on Pornhub. More than I need to know.
All it means is I know where to find him.
Oh, okay.
What I did with that Febreze and cucumber is none of your affair.
Okay, no, sir. I got to go. No. I don't.
Always, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Luke_Kerr. Until next time, so long.
I don't associate myself with any
kids. What the hell does that even mean?
I don't associate with that.
I have a really good imagination, but I have nothing with that. Nothing.
I can see the cucumber for Jamie, but the Febreze? Where does the Febreze come in?
I don't know.
I mean, has the cucumber been used too much and he needs to freshen it up?
Sorry, Julia.